Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of Friends with Money, Money Magazine's podcast to help you earn, save, and achieve your financial goals. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine. And as always, it is a pleasure to be with you. Somehow, unbelievably, we are less than 5 weeks out from Christmas. I must say, it's a time of the year that I absolutely love. I love seeing my family and friends. I love the food. I love the drinks. I love the games. I love decorating a tree. And almost most of all, I love parking myself in front of the TV on Boxing Day with a bunch of leftovers to watch the cricket. But the festive season is not without its financial hurdles. You know, the presents, the food, the gifts, the socializing, these things all cost money and take a wee bit of organizing. So for anyone like me who has been caught out by just how fast the festive season has crept up, we thought we'd do a bit of a Christmas financial survival guide on today's episode of Friends with Money. And ready to guide us through today's topic is friend of the show and personal finance expert at Finder, Sarah Meganson. Sarah, a very warm welcome to you, and thanks for joining us again on Friends with Money.
Oh, thank you for having me involved in this Christmas episode. I am exactly the same as you. I'm full of festive spirit. I would put my Christmas tree up in October if it was socially acceptable. I love it all.
Ooh, we might get onto that later on, Sarah. Interesting. Interesting little tease. I like that. You didn't even know what we were going to do. Anyway, we'll leave that as a tease for the moment. To start us off, Sarah, for anyone who is, you know, as prepared for Christmas as I am, which is to say not at all, is it still worth getting organized by, you know, setting a budget and creating a list of presents that, you know, I want to buy or other people want to buy, that sort of thing? Or is it too late now? Am I stuck?
No, it's definitely not too late. And in fact, now is the perfect time to be thinking about Christmas because we've got these Black Friday sales coming up and they have evolved into the biggest sale period in Australia. You were talking about Boxing Day before, and while you were sitting there watching the cricket, many of us were at the shops enjoying the Boxing Day sales because that used to be the biggest sale season in Australia. But now it's Black Friday. By far, Black Friday has become a huge deal. And it's perfectly timed because it's a month before Christmas and it is ideal time to stock up on your Christmas presents. So this right now is actually the ideal time to think ahead because you've still got 5 weeks. And I was actually just reading yesterday, I was revisiting the article you and I did in September talking about Christmas. That feels like it was last week. And I remember thinking, oh, September, Christmas already. We're already going to do that. And now here we are and it's 5 weeks away. We all know how quickly time just screams past. So thinking about it now is also a really good time to start having discussions with your friends and family. And in fact, just today, I texted my sister-in-law to propose a kind of a secret Santa idea because Christmas has gotten so expensive and you're buying for so many people. So I've proposed this idea this year with all of our kind of brothers and sisters and things where we do a fun game instead and it will cut our shopping down from spending about $300 each to spending about $100 each. So now is a good time to have those conversations, you know, well in advance of Christmas because if you've got regular traditions and things that you do, need to give people a bit of notice to change those things if that's going to happen. But you know, a lot of people, the idea of setting a budget is just the most boring thing in the world and you don't have to be too prescriptive with it. It's more just writing a list of who you're going to buy presents for, what socializing you're planning on doing, what your expenses are going to be in terms of events you're hosting and meals you got to cook, and just having a broad idea of what it's all going to cost you because it does sneak up on you. I remember doing it a couple of years ago and I thought that I only spent $500 at Christmas. And then when I added it all up, it was actually $1,500. Wow. Because I was just thinking of the presents I bought my kids. And I was like, okay, I spend about $100 per kid and then a little bit more on a few other things. I'm probably at $500. I was shocked when I actually listed it. So having that plan, it just helps you make sure that you're budgeting it and that you're not going to start the new year with a big fat credit card debt. That is a really unpleasant way for January to begin.
Definitely is. And hey, we'll get onto that a little bit later as well. I'd love to pick your brains on the idea of debt and how to avoid that. But back to Black Friday for a second, Sarah. Do you have any, I guess, recommendations beyond making a list and setting a budget in terms of how people should actually approach Christmas shopping during these sales?
Yes, it's such a great question because Black Friday is now, you know, it used to be a day and then a weekend, and now it is a month. Black Friday sales started at the beginning of November. So there's a lot of noise and there can be a lot of FOMO or that feeling, that pressure of like, I better act totally now before these sales end and before it sells out, I've got to get in. The biggest thing I recommend to people is to delay your purchase. So buy something, add it to cart. Don't buy it, just add it to cart. Let it sit there, work out how much the postage is, and then sit with it for a day. And the next day, you can come back to it. And it just gives you some time to think about it. I actually did this myself a few days ago when a brand that I really like, a skincare brand, had a 40% off sale for Black Friday. And I know with this particular brand that their Black Friday sale is their biggest sale of the year. And so I added to cart all the things I like, let it sit there. It was $120 all up. And then I went the next morning when I had my shower, I looked in my drawer and realized I still have so many of their products that I bought in last year's Black Friday sale. And I just, it was a nice little wake up call because I looked at it and I went, if I buy this stuff, I am not even going to use it for another year because I've still got all of this stuff that I bought last time. So I went back downstairs, you know, when I started work, and I closed that window and I didn't buy those things. Adding a bit of friction back into the process is really helpful because it's so different now to how it was 20 years ago when you would go to the shops and you would buy things and you would hand over cash and you would get change and shopping was very tangible. Now a lot of it happens online. You can just make a couple of swipes on your phone and you've bought it, you've ordered it, it's getting delivered, it's turning up tomorrow. It's a very frictionless experience, which makes it very easy to overspend. So adding some of that friction back yourself can be really helpful. And also, again, like back to our first point, being really clear about what you're buying. Just because it's on sale doesn't mean it's a good deal. And just because it's a good deal doesn't mean you need it. So you don't want to end up overspending, being stressed out, and ending up in debt just to have a lovely Christmas. And I know it can be, you know, a tricky time for parents, especially if you are, I know, single parents or low-income families or single-income families who really want to give their kids an incredible Christmas, and that can lead to overspending because they're, you know, trying to make that a really big priority. I think it's important to have a budget, and you can definitely splurge and spoil them, but shop the sales strategically and make sure that you're not overspending and that you're putting yourself under stress and strain, because our kids are really quite happy with our time, our attention, as long as they're opening things on the day, they're pretty over the moon. I was reading a really beautiful story online yesterday about someone who said they grew up with very little, and at Christmas, their family didn't have enough money for presents. And one year they got a present donation from an angel tree, and the gift she asked for when she was 12 years old was a Snuggie. And some of our listeners might remember what a Snuggie is. It's a blanket that has arms.
I don't remember this, Sarah.
It's very much back, like, it's probably 20 years ago. It was back on those TV, direct purchase on a TV. It was a blanket with arms called a Snuggie, the craziest thing. She asked for that when she was 12. You know, this was a $25 blanket. It's not any major ticket item, but she was so over the moon to get this gift. And she's now in her 30s and still has it. And I thought that was just such a lovely reminder that kids really value and remember. They have core memories around things, that they don't need the newest PlayStation or laptop or Apple product. They're nice to have, not need to have. And your kids would much prefer to have you there in the moment, soaking it up and enjoying it with them, and less presents than you being really, really stressed for weeks afterwards because you've put yourself under financial pressure to give them these presents.
It's a lovely, lovely story and an excellent point, Sarah.
Isn't it?
Beyond, I guess, gifts then, you know, there are obviously plenty of other festive season expenses that people may need to start to think about. And like we said before, food, drinks, travel, you know, running social events, that sort of thing. Do you have any strategies for, I guess, getting organized on the food and drink front at this stage or managing those costs?
Yeah, absolutely. I think those are the ones that really sneak up on you because when you think about Christmas and the costs involved, you really think about the presents, but we don't think so much about the catering. And we know, my goodness, that the cost of ingredients has gone through the roof. Even just a butter, you know, a tub of butter can be $9 now. A block of cheese can be $15 for the basic Woolworths brand cheese, you know. So costs have gone up. So a lot of the meals that we make, and a lot of people have traditions around Christmas where every year we make a specific thing, the ingredients alone for some meals can be $40, $50, $60 just to prepare one meal. So again, I think it's just really good to list it out. And you don't need to be too detailed with it, but just create a list of what social events you've got coming up and what you're likely to spend for each one. And when I look ahead to my December, I've got kind of a girl's lunch planned. We've planned it at a pub, so it's nice and affordable. And we've actually planned it by accident, but it's going to be in the afternoon during happy hour. Perfect. So that's going to be a nice, affordable Christmas get together. But, you know, looking at your calendar and what you're planning to do, what your gatherings are, you might, if finances are a bit tight, you might suggest to some friends to do a potluck where everyone brings a plate. That's always a really nice way for people to get together because everyone's contributing and the whole weight of hosting doesn't fall on one person. But I also recommend looking at what you're planning for Christmas Day and start shopping now for the things that you can. So there are things you can buy in advance, like, if you're planning to make a charcuterie board or a cheese platter, you can start buying the crackers and things now while they're on sale and the pickles and any of those items, the non-perishables. You can buy chocolates when they're half price. And my gosh, chocolates have gone up in price. So, you know, looking every week when you're doing your grocery shopping, are there chocolates on sale, half price, favorites, and, you know, other boxes of chocolates you can buy that you've then got ready to add to Christmas presents? A little fun fact that some people might not know is that we actually spend more in Australia on chocolate at Christmas time than we do at Easter.
No way.
Yeah, it is the number one gift. Cadbury makes all of their money over this period, or a big chunk of their money over this period. But the cost of chocolate has just gone through the roof in the last couple of years because there was a huge impact on supply of cocoa beans. That's what was really driving it. So it's really expensive to buy chocolate now. That is no longer the small add-on gift that it was in the past. So adding a box of chocolates to your grocery shopping every week when they're on sale can help you build out your Christmas presents by the time you're ready to wrap them up. I think I've talked to you about this before, but even when you're doing your weekly grocery shop, buying a $10 or $20 gift card, adding it into your shop, and then banking that up to either use at Christmas time towards your more expensive grocery shop or to have them on hand as gifts. So you can add a $20 gift card and a box of chocolates together, and that's a gift for someone taken care of. So just thinking really mindfully and thinking ahead about how you can take a bit of pressure off yourself is going to really help you relax and enjoy that whole season a little bit more.
I love it. I love the idea of spreading out the costs. I think that's just such a smart option and, you know, obviously might help people avoid what we're going to talk about next, which is the potential to get into a bit of post-Christmas debt. Because, you know, as we've been talking about between, you know, shopping and sales, buying things for Christmas, you know, traveling over Christmas and the new year, it's easy to, you know, spend a lot and to get a bit carried away with that spending and potentially, you know, rack up a debt on, you know, your credit card or via buy now, pay later, whatever it is. So Sarah, for people who do find themselves, you know, with post-Christmas debt or are likely to face that, how might they, you know, want to go about tackling that?
Another great question. I think it's especially tricky for parents because we have all of this Christmas spending and then in January, we're going back to school and you have more spending again then. So one thing that I have done in my family for many years is I use Christmas as a time to stock up on back to school essentials. So I'll often get my kids their school shoes or their school bag or drink bottles as Christmas presents, especially as they go into high school and their requirements are certainly higher than they were in primary school when we could get away with a big W bag. Now they want a Nike bag or, you know, an expensive one. So I turn them into Christmas presents. That's a great way to combine those expenses a bit. If you do have credit card debt, or if you know you're going to be leaning on your credit card through the Christmas period, my number one suggestion would be in January to plan to get on top of it all. A lot of people have a financial goal for January, you know, new year, new me. But one option with credit card debts is to try and transfer it over to a 0% balance transfer card. We have them on Finder. And I remember like 5 years ago, you could get a balance transfer for up to 30 months, which is 2.5 wow. years. They've wound it back a little bit now. And I think the longest period now is 24 months, but that's still 2 years where your debt gets transferred across and you pay 0% interest on it for that period. So the really important part is that you don't keep spending on the card, because if you do keep spending, you will pay interest on anything you spend. But if you transfer that debt across, and let's just say you've got $9,000 worth of credit card debt, you could transfer that $9,000 across to this new card and work out $9,000 over 24 months is, I think that's about just over $400 a month. If you can afford that, you know, it's just over $100 a week. You try and pay off as much as you can over that 2 year period when there's no interest. And then by the time that 2 years is up, if you've got any balance left to pay off, it will start accruing interest from that point, but you've really made a big dent in the worst of it. So that can be a really great way to get out of the real burden of debt. But obviously, we want to avoid getting into debt in the first place if we can. So trying to be as organized as possible in the lead up to Christmas is going to help you avoid overspending and just try to keep your Christmas period stress-free when it comes to the finances.
Absolutely. Good point. Sarah, rather than ending on a debt note, as you know, as realistic and as important as to talk about that, I thought it'd be a bit of fun to do something a little bit lighter. And to do that, I'd like to play a game that I'm calling Faux Pas or Fair Play, Festive Edition.
I love this.
All right. So with that in mind, Sarah, I'm going to throw a couple of scenarios your way for you to give your verdict on. So you tell me when you're ready.
I am ready to go.
All right. Well, let's start with the workplace then, Sarah. What are your thoughts on buying a gift for the office white elephant gift exchange or stealing Santa, whatever you want to call it, with the express purpose of taking it home yourself? Is that a faux pas or is that fair play?
I think that is absolutely fair play, because as long as you're doing it in with the greater good in mind of like, you know, if someone else ends up with this, great, but if I end up with it, I'll be pretty happy too. I must admit, I have been involved in the odd bad Santa or, you know, secret Santa thing in the past where I have bought something thinking, I don't need this, but if I end up with it, I'll be pretty stoked.
Okay. So, but maybe not, you know, Sarah Meganson printed pajamas or a robe or something like that.
No, not Homer Simpson style where he bought Marge a bowling ball for her birthday. Not quite at that level. All right. But I'm more talking, you know, I've bought maybe like really special chocolates that I love that I think, oh, if I end up with them, I'll be really happy. Or I can remember once buying some makeup for a girl's Christmas one where we did a bad Santa, and I bought this makeup and I thought if I end up with that, I would not be mad. So I think that's fair play.
Okay. I agree. But you know, this is you, not me. So we'll move on. Still on the workplace. How about re-gifting a present you've received in the office secret Santa or white elephant that very same Christmas to a family member or a friend?
Ooh. This is a spicy one. I like it. I am going to say fair play. And the reason I say fair play is I really don't believe in holding on to things you're not going to use or that you don't need. And as long as there's no crossover between the groups, so if you're taking it from the workplace and you're giving it to friends and no one in your friend or family group knows the work people to see the gift has been regifted, I think it's totally fine. And I personally, if I gave someone a gift and I found out they had re-gifted it to someone else, I would think, great, that gift served its purpose. It didn't quite strike the right chord for them, but they found a use for it. I saved them money because they didn't have to buy another gift. So I'm not mad about that. You know, gifts are meant to be something that brings someone a little bit of joy and surprise and delight. And if it doesn't quite work out for them, I'm more than happy for them to pass it on to someone who is going to get better use.
That's so good of you, Sarah. I'd be absolutely miffed, but you know, that's me. You're a better person than I am. So this is what this game's really already. I love it. Moving on then. This is actually a question from one of my colleagues. So interested to hear what you have to say. His scenario was that, say you're going to a friend's place or a family member's place for Christmas or, you know, an associated kind of festive do, and you bring along a nice bottle of wine or champagne with you. They never crack it though. Your host never cracks it, and they just serve you yellowtail, was the example, throughout the night. Are you allowed to take your unopened bottle home with you?
Oh my gosh. Again, this is a cracker. Look, I'm going to say that no, you are not allowed to take that wine with you, because when you bring a bottle of wine to a party, that is a host gift for the host to do what they may with it. But I am also going to say, if I was your colleague and I brought a beautiful bottle of Mum and I got served yellowtail, I would also be miffed, but I would probably speak up and I would probably say, hey, why don't we crack open the Mum that I brought?
Some lovely passive aggressive encouragement.
I'd probably encourage. But if they didn't crack it out and they saved it for later, I would just have to grin and bear it through the yellowtail. No shade to yellowtail. It's just not quite the same as a lovely French champagne. But I do think when you bring something to someone's house, it's a gift you're giving without conditions. You're saying thank you for hosting me. And if they choose to be a little bit rude and not share it, then, because I do think as the host, you're meant to share it, then that's kind of just a lesson for you to learn. Next time, make sure you dial down your generosity and just bring a less fancy bottle with you.
All right. Phil, if you're listening, there you go. That's the verdict. Sarah, one final question for you, a very short one as well. Is it too early to put up Christmas tree in November?
Absolutely not. And you could have said in June and I would have said no. I think you should put up your Christmas tree whenever it brings you joy. My birthday is actually the 29th of November, and in our family, that has become our Christmas tree day or weekend. My husband's really sweet, and he always says, let's let Mum have her day first, like get her birthday, and then we'll put the tree up after her birthday. But I would be happy to put it up on the 1st of November. I'm exactly like you. I love Christmas. I love the spirit. I love watching Christmas movies. My family, we will start watching Christmas movies probably in the next week or so. Like, we are all about it. So if I can extend the season by putting my tree up early, I'm absolutely going to do that. I also really like shopping for presents. Like, I've already started shopping. So I will have presents to put under there soon. So it's practical to have it.
You've got to stretch it out a little bit, right? There's too much to enjoy otherwise, and you can't condense it too much.
Exactly.
There's a balance.
The world is exhausting. Yeah. You know, there's so much adulting we have to do every day. Why not take a little pressure off by having a beautiful sparkly tree to look at every night? It's just lovely.
I have no
shade for anyone that puts it up early. And in fact, I know someone who put theirs up on the 1st of October and I had no shade for that. I was like, you do you.
Wow. That is early. Good for them. Good for them.
25% of the year celebrating Christmas. I love that.
Yeah, that's one way to look at it. Sarah, this has been so much fun. Thank you so much for coming on today and for helping us and, well, me feel a little bit more prepared for the festive season and a little bit more jolly about it. Feeling very excited now. So yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
That is it for this episode of the Friends of Money podcast. Don't forget to jump on our website, moneymag.com.au, for your daily dose of financial news, or you can go grab yourself a copy of the latest edition of Money Magazine in all good newsagents. As always, Friends of Money will be right back in your podcast feeds next week. So until then, my name is Tom Watson. Goodbye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.